Loving Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. We thank you, Lord, that amidst all the chaos and the confusion of this earth, Lord, even the weather being bad, we are gathered together today, O Lord, to praise you, to worship you, and to glorify your name, to hear what you have, hear what you want us to say, O Lord, and to hear what you have placed upon this world, O Lord. That I will decrease and you will increase, O Lord. And that it will multiply a 30, 60, and 100 fold. And your people, including me, will be able to receive it, retain it, and release it in due season. Amen. I saw this little verse which says, when God has called you, it doesn't matter who has rejected you or neglected you. God's favor outweighs all opposition. You are a winner. Do you believe that?
Yes.
So all of us are winners. Amen. Amen. So no matter where you came from, what matters is where you're going. No matter what you're going through, God's hand is upon you. He is your ever-present help in trouble. He has not finished the work he started in us. We are still a work in progress, or a house under construction. And 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, the eye has not seen, the ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, what God has planned for you, for those who love him, isn't it? Amen. So, let's look at a few people who were rejected or neglected or were in obscurity in some form. I think we all can relate to that. I can. I'm sure some of you can. And they all had a time of waiting and a time of preparation, a time of equipping, a time of testing, a time of molding, and a time of shaping. So it's sometimes when challenges come into your life, I don't think it's a bad thing. It makes you stronger and it makes you face whatever that comes with God's help, of course. So we look at Joseph as a 17-year-old sold into slavery for 20 pieces of silver, rejected by his siblings. Becomes the prime minister of Egypt. Can you imagine that? But it didn't happen in 2-3 days, but he had a time of waiting as well. He was in prison, he was sold into slavery, so many things. So he got strengthened in that. In the end, his siblings who sold him had to bow to him. So that was a turnaround in his life. So your life can turn around as well. I'm sure it has in many ways. Moses, born during the time when Pharaoh made a decree for all male babies to be killed. Born at that time. And whom was he adopted by? The own Pharaoh's daughter. And he would have been a prince in Egypt. But he left his comfort and was a shepherd. I believe it was for about 40 years. Where God taught him patience. To lead more than 2 million people, the Israelites, through the wilderness. I think he needed so much of patience to do that because they were always grumbling. Esther, an orphan to become the queen of Persia and used by God to go before the king to deliver the Jews from a cruel decree from being killed. In the end, the one who makes the decree, Haman, goes to the gallows. Again, a turnaround. And she becomes the queen of Persia. Ruth, who lost her husband and everything she had, and left her people to be with her mother-in-law. I'm sure if something like that happens, you wouldn't want to be with your mother-in-law. You'd want to go back to your people. But she stayed with her mother-in-law, and she was blessed. She met the kinsman redeemer and she became the great grandmother of King David. Jesus chose 12 ordinary people. Probably they were poor, their livelihood was fishing. They became fishers of men with no university education, and they had no efficiency decoration behind their name. I'm sure some of you would have seen in the forces, they have ED behind their name or attached to their name, which means an efficiency decoration. They were soldiers in the Lord's army, but they had no efficiency decoration. But they turned the world upside down with the word of God. And they were valiant soldiers in the Lord's army. Then we see Job. He loses everything. He loses his wealth, he loses his family, he loses everything, even his health. But accepts the sovereignty of God in his life and receives back more than he had. Again, a turnaround. Isn't it amazing what God can do for you? And then we see David, another shepherd boy, who sang praises to God whilst looking after the sheep and did errands for his brothers, who fought the lion and the bear. And that was his training to kill Goliath. Isn't that amazing? What a training he had to fight with the bear and to fight with the lion. And when he sang praises to the Lord, that was another training for him as well. He brought down heaven to earth, I believe. And he was a man after God's own heart. So from King David's life, we pick up a message in the Bible of God's redemption and grace. And no matter where we come from, what circumstances we're in, whether we are neglected or rejected, or whether we have been dropped in some way, physically or spiritually, God is a covenant-keeping God. We see that in 2 Samuel 9. Let us look at that. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan has yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodebar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodebar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldst look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertain to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall still till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on his feet. Isn't that amazing? From obscurity into the forefront. God is preparing us for a blessing, and not the blessing preparing us. He is preparing us for a blessing. It's through your adversity that you learn how good God is and how big God is. Each step is ordered by the Lord. If you are fast, you will slip and fall. So don't make it fast. Go with what the Lord wants to do. Psalms 37 and 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. No one escapes a problem. I'm sure we have all gone through problems. I have, may have gone through many problems. And Genesis 50 says, Satan may come to harm you, but God turns it for your good. He turns it around. For sure he will. He will restore, the word of God says he will restore all what the locust, the cankerworm, the palmerworm, and the caterpillar have eaten. So that's the word of God to us. Whatever we have been through, he will restore it back to us. If he did it for Joseph, he did it for Moses, he did it for Esther, Ruth, and Job, and David, won't he do it for us? He will do it for us. Amen. So, if we go back to the story of Mephibosheth, he was earlier known as Meribah. In the book of Chronicles, as Jonathan's son, he was named Meribah. But I believe when he fell, that's what happened to him. And we see that story in the verse in 2 Samuel 4, verse 4. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth, which means mouth of shame. And in ancient times, the heir to the throne would take the entire displaced family and put them to death, so that there is no future opposition or rebellion coming from that side. So because of this fear, I believe the nurse picks the boy up and flees. And during this, either he falls or the nurse drops him, he's crippled for life. One moment he's in the palace, one moment he's an heir even to the throne, and the next moment he's crippled. Anything can happen to us. One moment we can be good, but it's just the next second things can go wrong. He, maybe Mephibosheth would have been a king, because Saul and the next in line was Jonathan, and the next was Mephibosheth. And And if you look at the Bible, the two youngest kings, I think one was Joash and one was Josiah. Joash was 7 when he was a king, and Josiah was 8. So there was no problem in him becoming king. But what happens to him was a very sad thing. So he had an unknown future. Does this speak to any one of us? I think I was like that at one time. He was royalty, but now lame. His elders are vanquished, and he has to be looked after and destitute. He has to be carried everywhere. He has to be fed. Everything has to be done for him. At the time, he was 5 years, and it goes on. So after David is anointed as king, and many years later, he remembers the promise he made to Jonathan in 2 Samuel 20:15. It says that he will show kindness to the remaining members of his family. He finds out that there is a servant, Ziba, of Saul, and he says, yes, Jonathan has a son, but he is lame in his feet. King David, a typology of God, fetches him from that place called Lodeba. Lodeba means no pasture, no nothing to sustain him, no communication, nothing to feed on, absolutely destitute at that time. He's helpless, he's forgotten, he's cast out. By now, he too has a son, his name is Micah. King David sends for him, and I'm sure Mephibosheth would have expected the worst when they told him to bring him to the palace. And I'm sure they carried him and maybe put him in front of David when he was seated on the throne. I would have brought him on a mat or something and laid him in front of him. He would have thought he's going to be killed. But one thing he did, he humbled himself and fell on his face and said, I am your servant. And then he hears the most comforting words we have heard in the Bible, fear not. That was an assurance. I think that's the assurance we all need, fear not. He humbles himself more so when he hears David's loving assurance and comfort that he sit at his table forever. And he says, I'm like a dead dog. He compares himself to a pile of garbage, and he's astonished at the grace that is shown to him. And even in that teaching we learned that day of humility, he was humbled before man and God and his circumstances. There was no turning back for him, so he had to humble himself because he was at a turning point again. But what happens to him? David shows him all the kindness and restores to him all the land of his grandfather Saul. And then David not only invites him to sit at his table, but he is an adopted son of David as one of the king's sons. It is the same with us. God restores us from the wilderness and obscurity to the forefront. From barrenness to fruitfulness, from lack to abundance, from dishonor to honor. He was brought out of obscurity, but he was still lame. God sees us not for our good looks, not for our good feet, not for our good walk, not for our good looks, but he sees the broken and the contrite heart in us. So we have nothing to be ashamed of. He has invited us to his banqueting table, to his supper table, as Mephibosheth, who was lame, who had nothing to look forward to, was invited to the supper table of the king. That's what God is calling us, to his supper table in the presence of your enemies. He's inviting us to come. Is there anyone who's hurting me? Saying, is there anyone there to lift me up? I'm hurting. I have things which I can't share with anyone. My problem is too big. I'm a Christian, but my problem has crippled me spiritually. I'm damaged on the inside, and no one can see it on the outside. But God can see. It is only for you to humble yourself in your circumstances. That's all you have to do. And we all know there's room in God's palace, and God's grace, His mercy and love can all get there through that. We can get up from the floor. Mephibosheth couldn't get up from the floor. God is there to lift us up and get to the table and dine with the Lord in the presence of our enemies. He's standing beside you right now, stretching out His hand. Put your hand in His hand and He will lift you up. The lifting is the healing, and He will guide you. He will hold your hand and take you to the table to sit with Him, because as God's word says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined the plans that God has for you. And if there's anyone who's hurting, who's having some sickness, or cannot share the problem, but God knows the problem, come to the table and you can sup with Him. He will heal you. He will restore you. He will regenerate you and give you the best He has. His righteousness, His wholeness, His health, His wealth, and His well-being. Thank you.